Prepare to Pivot is a series of conversations with Dr. Andrew Barnes, Dean of the School of the Arts, Communications, and Global Studies at York College of Pennsylvania. Dean Barnes talks with leaders in the college, YCP alums, and members of the York community about the importance of the liberal arts in preparing students to build careers where essential skills like critical and creative thinking, effective communications, and analytical reasoning make all the difference. And now, here's Dean Barnes.
Hi, this is Andy Barnes, and welcome to Prepare to Pivot. Today, I'm really excited. I have two guests today, Cal Weary, who is the CEO of Weary Arts Group here in New York, and Peter Botrus, who is the founder of Shine Music Foundation. And I'm super happy to have them because we're going to talk about the benefits of art and music education to the community. So welcome, Cal and Peter. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
I just wanted to start, just give us your story. Peter, I've heard your story about 6 million times because it's a great story and everyone likes to hear it. So just give me a kind of shortened version of your story of who you are, why you're here, and what's the Shine Music Foundation all about?
Sure. Thanks for having us. So I'm originally from Egypt, came here when I was 10 years old. We moved to York, Pennsylvania, went to Central York High School, and then graduated, then went to Penn State York. Music was a big passion of mine. Started my first big concert in 2016, and then after that, pretty much became a nonprofit foundation providing free music to inner city kids. So we've been doing this for probably almost 10 years now, and it's been an amazing experience.
And you have a new building that you have in downtown York. Where is that? And what if people wanted to kind of see where you are, where is that?
So we are right on a square, and it's on 2 East Market Street. And we're looking to open in the next 2 or 3 months or so.
Cool. And where are you now? If people wanted to get in contact with you, how can they get in contact with you?
So right now we're at 408 West Market Street, which is the Union Lutheran Church. And they can always contact me through Facebook. We share all of our news and classes and concerts and everything we do with our kids and the community on Facebook, Peter Botrus.
Cool. And I'm happy to be sitting on your education partner, one of your subcommittees for your board, which is a thrill for me to do.
Absolutely.
Because I think the work you're doing is pretty amazing and it's essential work to be
done
in the community. So Cal, you've been around a while.
Quite
forever,
yeah.
Right? Forever. You are
from the
a presence.
Of time.
From the beginning of, and you have a great radio voice.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me about your group, art group.
So I'll preface to say that I'm a York College graduate.
That's great.
Grew up on this campus. Was a York Country Day School graduate. Started York Country Day School age 4 in nursery and basically grew up on this campus. So it's wonderful to be back to do something like this, especially with my buddy Peter here. It's significant to bring that up because the training that was received and the respect for the arts that we had at York Country Day School really was a precursor to what I do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of days in this radio studio, a lot of days in the library here and other places on campus where I learned about media and learned about music and the things that I love. My company, different from Peter's. Peter's is a nonprofit. This is the perfect relationship that we have. He's a nonprofit. I'm a for-profit company. And primarily what we work with is performing arts in all of its forms. We direct musicals and plays, both licensed and original, and create. We work in schools. Currently, our major contracts are with York Academy in York, York Tech, otherwise known as York County School of Technology. And in Harrisburg, we have the Capillary School of the Arts, and we do multiple things for each one of these schools. Basically, a la carte. What they don't have, we bring in. So, it's really important to state that working with a for-profit and a nonprofit allows us to kind of cover all the bases. And our main objective is to do art for art's sake. It's not necessarily art trying to perpetuate some other thing. It's art because art builds us.
Well, yeah, and I think that's the important part, that it's, art, people sometimes look at art and think of, it's kind of a nice, fun thing. It's an entertaining thing to do, but it has some real good, beneficial consequences to community especially to kids in community. I mean, we have lots of reports about what it, lots of surveys, studies about what it does to a student's social skills.
Yes.
What it does to their learning skills, especially if a student is coming from a disadvantaged background, they don't have a lot of support. Art can really, really does a lot to advance what they can do, and it helps them in their further education. They're more likely to go to college, to finish school. So it's a good thing. And I'm going to talk about the benefits of arts. But I just want to remind everyone that this is Andy Barnes, and you are listening to Prepare to Pivot on WVYC. And my guests today are Cal Weary and Peter Boatris. Peter, I know I get your name wrong every once in a while, but I try, my friend. So talk to me about what are some of the outcomes you guys see in your when you're working with students, when you're working with community members. What do you encounter sort of transformational moments in some of these in these kids' lives? And can you give us a couple of stories about those transformational moments?
We've seen some major impact in the last couple of years. I've had kids, you know, since they were 8 years old, and now they're 15, 16 years old, playing full-on concerts with me on some of the biggest stages here in New York. So being able to see that growth in them has been my biggest reward, to be honest with you. And we just have so many stories throughout the years. But, you know, what's really cool about the art is it really brings people together physically, whether it's an art gallery, a museum, concert halls. And also, like, culturally, too, you know, brings all different types of diverse groups for one common goal. And, you know, what's really awesome about music is, like, it's a way for us to share our story. And that's kind of what I've been doing here. When I came to this country, I was able to share my story through music, through the piano. And it really, you know, it promotes expression and creativity. And it's a way for us to really articulate our deepest emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, when words fail, music speaks. And for me, a lot of people know I'm not a guy of many words, but, like, I can really
you're not a guy of many words.
But when it comes to music and being on a piano, I can really express my deepest emotions.
You've talked about before, and when I've heard your story, that there, you know, some of the kids you work with, that they get up on stage and they have that moment kind of in the limelight, when maybe in most of their life they didn't have that kind of light shined on them, right?
Yeah.
And you give them that moment, and there's this kind of recognition that what they're doing is special.
Absolutely.
What they're doing is seen, when a lot of times these kids are not seen. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty amazing.
It's really amazing to see what goes on with the shows and after the shows. Our last concert was at the JCC, and after the show, literally people came up and took pictures with them. Some of our kids even signed autographs, you know. So my job is to really create opportunities for them to be on stage and to be heard and to be a voice and to express their feelings. That's what music's all about, being able to share your feelings, your story, what you're going through.
And what a great validation. You know, you can share your feelings and people aren't going to shut you down for it, aren't going to criticize you for it. People are going to applaud you for it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The more you kind of open up, the more you kind of share when it comes to art, when it comes to music, the more you reveal of yourself and are vulnerable.
Yeah.
That's what people appreciate.
Yeah.
And to have that appreciation teaches someone, hey, to have these feelings is okay. To do this is okay. And I think that's kind of amazing.
Absolutely.
Kel, you work a lot with universities and college, or some.
We work with, college, I mean, we everybody. Work with all ages.
Yeah.
But I would say that the majority of my work has been with high schoolers and middle schoolers.
High school and middle schoolers.
Early in my career, I was always the guy who ended up with the youngest group of kids because they gravitate towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens
is your personality.
It might be a
magnetic personality. You know, it's true.
Teddy bear.
Yeah.
What happens is all those kids get older, right?
Yeah.
And what I've experienced, because I've been doing this for so long, is now I have the children and the grandchildren of people who I originally taught, which sounds crazy because I'm...
Makes you old. It just makes you old.
I'm only 15 years old myself. No, but I really am experiencing that. And because, especially in this community, because of being a part of the schools that my company is a part of, I'm getting to see not only those generational opportunities for families to be a part of the arts, but also to be working in the arts. Not just, and nothing wrong with just experiencing it, but I have people who, my company is based on subcontractors that are former students of mine who've gone off, done training, been in shows, and have come home, and now are giving their gift back to current students. And that's the most amazing part for me. A few years back, I had the opportunity to stand on stage with a young man who was directing his first musical, and I brought up the person who taught him, and that person I had taught. So he was basically—
That's nice generational
right.
kind of—
But even next step, the person who taught me was also there.
Wow.
So in the arts, you know, especially when we have those family arts, like where we've created our family, we on that stage, we had literally the guy who taught me, the guy I taught, and the guy he taught. And the guy who was directing that show that day was working also with the guy who, for other projects, with the guy who taught me. Because it's a full circle.
Yeah, it's this family, right, yeah.
The artist made that circle. And we often say, when we give these little speeches, the parents like, I can't wait till the day that one of your kids is up here like this with this guy or this lady and can say, hey, that person taught me, then still works with Cal, you know, still working on some crazy project with me. and I think, you know, we become edified by the work that they do. I'm made young, I'm made current by the work that I'm still able to do with these, you know, teenagers and 20-somethings. And my programs have gotten older with the people as they've gotten older. So we have some stuff that's more adult than we do now because they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They get past the point where they're the cute little kids and we love them. That's amazing that we have those opportunities to work with them, but then they get older and we don't want them to age out of the arts. The whole idea is for them to have the arts be a part of their life forever. We need them to be patriarchs of the arts because even the ones who don't go forward into it being their career, we want them to still be giving to it, still experiencing it, still living it well into their twilight years. It's the one thing, like, it's the one thing that, like, when you're playing music or acting on stage, dance can be kind of rough after a while.
Dance can be rough on
knees. But there are still some who still do it.
Yeah, that's right.
And being
right.
in shows and musicals and putting together projects, they can keep doing that and keep supporting that as philanthropists, as sponsors for those things for the rest of their lives. There was a study that was done that said for every $1 million put into the arts of the community, $23 million comes back to that community. It's a threshold. You can't just put a dollar in and get $23 back. But reaching that threshold in all of its ways, whether it's monetarily or whether it's culturally, it requires a community that has its face forward to the arts, not its back turned.
Well, you know, I think this is interesting. This is important because so many people, especially in community and business world, see the arts as this sort of add-on thing. Not a serious thing. It's like, yeah, we go to this and it's nice, but they never think about the performers. They never think about the people who are doing this for a living.
Right.
And what I see when we're talking about the arts and even the liberal arts in colleges, there's a lot of pressure these days because it's not a serious thing. Your kid can't go to school to major in music or theater or literature because it's not serious, right? You're not going to get a job with that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're fighting against, these sort of political headwinds, as it were. Then we have to be kind of warriors saying, no, that's not true. You can go in and find your passion if you want to go to college or if you want to pursue music or if you want to pursue theater. You can get a job. You can still perform. But the idea is that you really need to follow your passion.
Yeah.
Find what you're passionate about and kind of ignore or fight against that sort of social pressure that you have to get a degree in business. You have to get a job in order to be sort of counted as successful.
Right.
You have to have a meaningful job. And when these are very meaningful jobs, and people don't, and our communities don't necessarily appreciate that or realize that.
I think my viewpoint would be that every single time someone says that, I go, what is everyone working for? Working for that which entertains them.
That's right.
That which feeds them.
That's right.
So every business person, everybody who's working at these other jobs, what are they spending every time they have one? I'm going to go to this concert this weekend.
Right?
I'm going to see a musical. I'm going to watch my favorite musician play at the jazz club.
Right.
You're spending your money on us that you make somewhere else so that we're viable.
We're totally viable. Yeah. We're totally viable. This is Andy Barnes, and you're listening to Prepare to Pivot on WVYC. My guests today are Cal Weary and Peter Botrus. I want to sort of, how do we, You guys are doing a really fantastic job because you are really on the front lines of pushing for the arts, of arguing for the arts, of giving kids, and what you kind of say, giving sort of generational understanding and appreciation for the arts. And it must be tough out there. Tell me about that sort of the struggle and how you sort of are fighting against or pushing against, maybe is a better word, that kind of struggle.
So
Peter doesn't like stuff.
I'm gonna throw, like, because Peter didn't say it, but I'm gonna say it this way.
Yeah.
I'm older than Peter, and I've been through some other things that are different, and I'm watching him kind of navigate some waters that I've been through previous to him. And one of the things that I really feel blessed by having him as a friend and also an ally and a partner in this is that sometimes my older eyes will look at something and say, oh, I know what they're going to tell you, and this is how they always handle it. And if you do it this way, blah, blah, blah. Whereas Peter might be like, well, come on, I'm going to try it this way. And I say, maybe it's the time for it now. Maybe 10 years ago when I did this thing, it wasn't the right time. Maybe it's right now. And he keeps me from being
cynical.
Right. I was looking for cantankerous.
Kind of cantankerous is a good word.
Cantankerous, yeah, old man is like, that never worked. You moved my cheese. I'm angry now. No, I don't want to be that guy. So he keeps reminding me of the fact that amazing things can happen. You've done it before. We can do it again together. Maybe we can finally do it the way we wanted to. I do believe that in this town, there are those moments where people think they'll count you out when it comes to anything that you do because maybe they just think you're not doing mm-hmm. it as much anymore. Mm-hmm. My company works more than it ever did before, but sometimes you don't know because we are behind the scenes. We are literally the production people, and that's the way we're supposed to be, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not making an excuse for it, but I love being able to work with Shine and Weary Arts Group and Shine, you know, we share a lot of the same people, both artists and instructors, and it works for us. There's not a competition there. There is collaboration. We change that C word to that, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm.
And some people don't necessarily get that, but if I was going to say the toughest thing is really working in a community that sometimes, like you said, looks at the arts as an add-on. When it's not an add-on for us,
right.
It is the it's primary.
Life. That's right. That's right.
It is the primary. It's
the primary.
It is the yep. number one thing. And when it is the number one thing and you really live your life that way, it's weird for some people who wanted it. I have so many former students who are in their 30s now who are coming back. I have one young lady who drives back here from D.C. every weekend to help run shows. She's on Zoom calls with kids, helping with their vocals. She graduated from Howard University, amazing vocalist, amazing director. And she comes back because this is her life's blood. She does something else for a living that pays her very well. And she spends her money on getting back and forth here because this is who she really is.
I think there's lots of people out there who, you know, when they were young or when they were in college, told you can't do that.
Right.
And so they held this kind of passion inside them and they got their business degrees. They got their accounting degrees.
Which is great. Please
not
do
so.
It.
I have an accounting degree. It's yeah. not so great. Well. But at least there's that. And it's really those professors, those people they meet that plant that seed that allows them when they're in their 30s or their 40s to go, yeah, that's still there. I still want to engage that artistic part of me. And I remember that professor, that person who planted that seed. And I can sort of kind of go back and realize, you know, Peter, I think I'm gladdened by what you're doing because one of my biggest frustrations in this town and in the country is that there's a lot of money that goes towards businesses, mm-hmm. a lot of money to endow businesses and those sort of pre-professional ready to work kind of jobs, but you're attracting a lot of attention and a lot of people are looking at you in foundations and people with money are looking at you and going, yeah, this is something important to do. And that makes me feel good because it you know, I can be cynical as well. I think right. that it's all business. Everyone just gives to business. What mm-hmm. about the arts? And you're turning heads. And I think that for this community is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know we talked about passion and your passion will make your ways. And this is something that we're extremely passionate about. And we're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. You know, I've been doing this for years now. Of course, not as long as Cal, but for me,
that's an age thing again, man. That's a
yes, right, young man.
Like for me, I'm not afraid of no's. I'm not afraid of. I'm always thinking, well, if this doesn't work, I'm gonna try something else. If that doesn't work, I'm gonna, you know, rearrange things, do it a different way, but I'm going to find a way regardless. And it's really important for me to really teach those kids. You have to find your passion. You have to find something that you truly love. Because if I didn't love what I was doing, trust me, I would have given up a long time ago.
Right, right.
York is not the easiest to create something this big. But it was my passion. It's all I know. It's in me.
Yep.
You know, one of my biggest regrets is not going to college for music because of what you said earlier. My parents did not think that was a career. So, you know, I went to school for business. We own a few businesses here, which has been a big help for me to work on my dreams, work on my passions. And now to a point where, you know, thank God people are now kind of, wow, we kind of see something here.
Yeah.
We want to step in and help. And for me, that has been like the biggest reward, you know, seeing people like yourself being interested to helping us out. I mean, that's huge, man. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
And just other community leaders and being able to talk to them and share ideas with them and for them to really, you know, help us out.
Yeah.
Has been a huge help. And, you know, for me, you know, you have to see it, believe it, and you eventually achieve it. That's always been my big thing. Even before I started, I just knew it was going to be this really big thing. And I was willing to really work hard towards it. I don't care how long it took, how much time, how much resources. I was willing to literally spend my last penny to make this work.
Mm-hmm. I did that. Don't do that.
I've done it. Trust me. I've done it.
Well, this, yeah.
I just never show it. You know, a lot of people see all the good stuff that happens.
Yeah.
It looks
not
easy.
All the sweat and tears.
It doesn't look easy.
Right, that's right.
There's sweat and tears behind it. There's man, why is this not working? I'm doing everything I can. But again, it was my passion that really kept me going.
I would say that, you know, that adversity, you know, what is it? They say pressure makes diamonds, irritation makes pearls. I always think about that because there's also another process, part of the process too. I mean, during the process of the pressure, before you become the diamond, or actually slightly after, the diamond's still not formed into the shape that we recognize as a diamond.
That's
you can see what a diamond is if you're not trained. You could see a diamond as a diamond, a huge one, and it would just look like a piece of broken glass. The job that we have right now when it comes to the kids is seeing those diamonds and pearls in their roughest form. They've already, the pressures have been applied to them before they live.
Yeah.
The irritation has been applied to them. We're seeing them in their roughest form. And by applying what we have for them, it's shaving away those other little pieces. And even to get crazier with that.
It's a good metaphor. Keep going.
There's pieces that fall off to the side that are still diamonds.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
They're just we're getting rid of some of the stuff that makes you into who you are to make you into the better you.
Yeah.
And that is performing on stage, literally doing that.
Yeah.
Coming out of the pandemic, we could say we have all these underprivileged kids in multiple places, in rural areas, in the inner city, whatever. That same feeling was poured on even our privileged kids when personal connection was taken away from us. So with that happening, you have this kind of equalizing ground that comes that everybody needs connection. And the arts are the best way I know of creating that connection.
That's true.
They are. There's something for every single person there. You know, whether it is, if you're a science guy, there's science in the arts. If you're a math guy, there's math in the arts. You build things. And music, there's math.
That's right.
But if you are into history or English, it's there, lyrics and why we do what we do on the stage or why we do what we do when we write a song. And so I really do believe that, like, those things that are, people are now, like, opening their eyes to things that are happening with Shine. We've always had a lot of folks who backed up Weary Arts Group. Right now they're saying, hey, come help us fix these problems we're having from being separated from each other.
That's right. I think that's... Everyone sort of are looking to the arts and humanities now after going through the pandemic because they lost something there. And they're looking for that sort of bit of humanity that kind of was lost during the pandemic. And where are they finding it? They're coming back to the arts. They're coming back to the liberal arts because we do allow self-expression and also self-examination. Who are we? Mm-hmm. It allows us to, you don't ask those questions when you're a business person.
Right. No.
You know, you ask it when you're a liberal arts or an arts person. Who are you? What those really important questions as a person and a community. I like this analogy that we know that artists, we are really resilient. We are tough people because we have to deal with a lot of rejection. But I like the fact that, Cal, I'll just speak to you on this, that we are the elders now.
Right.
Peter, you are not. You're still young. And it's our job to kind of shine that and say, hey, this is what you can become.
Yeah.
This is what all that struggle is all about. I think that's pretty noble. It's pretty noble. Yeah. It's noble what both of you are doing.
Anything worthwhile in life, it's not easy.
That's right.
And
that's true.
One thing I learned coming to this country. And you know, we worked our butts off.
Right.
And, you know, we're reaping some of the rewards from it. But I teach my kids that all the time. You know, for me, music is cool. We love teaching music. We love doing performances. But I think I'm more excited about mentorship.
Yeah.
I'm more excited about changing their mindset, getting them in the right places, give them hope. You know, all I had in this country was hope. So that's all we had here. But that was our driving force, you know, to make things happen. So
it's true. You don't see many lazy artists. I mean, they're out there.
No.
But if they're successful, they aren't lazy.
They're hustling everything.
They're hustling everything. They're working. They're hustling. They're figuring out. They're redoing. They're trying to, you know, they're hustling.
No matter how weird you get, arts groups can help you find your shine and the foundation of your life.
Well, that's an amazing way to end this.
Weird arts group, shine foundation.
Look, hey, thank you guys.
I'm a lyricist.
You should work together, you two. It'd be awesome. Cal, Peter, thank you very much for doing this with me. I really appreciate it. And really, I appreciate the work you do and keep doing it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This program is produced in the studios of WVYC-FM, the voice of your college, and produced by WVYC radio station manager Jeffrey Schiffman. Join Dean Barnes monthly for these ongoing conversations about essential skills in the liberal arts.